In recent years, and likely once again here at the end of this new calendar month, September, many acres of ground in the Conservation Reserve Program have exited that program and were not eligible, for whatever reason, to re-enter the CRP, which begs the question then, what can the landowner do in utilizing that acreage in the most practical economic sense from here forward? That's popping up, that question, here and there in Kansas now. And an individual who's been invited to address that in a series of meetings later on this year joins us now. She's Michael Taylor, an agricultural economist with K-State Research and Extension. The genesis of this discussion, Michael, you're hearing from folks out there who have former CRP ground that once more will not be going back into the program in all likelihood, and therefore what to do with it.
Yes. So I don't necessarily think that these folks opted out intentionally. Right. In fact, I think that the decision that was made through FSA in terms of re-enrolling the ground was that we probably only had between 5 and 10% of the ground. We're looking at like Marshall County, for example, where we had a large number of contracts that were up for renewal but didn't get accepted back in. So now you have landowners with a situation where they've been, you know, they've been under CRP contract for 10, 15, 20 years, and now they've got to decide, you know, okay, we're not in CRP anymore. What do we do with the ground?
Not an easy question to answer, as we'll find out as we explore this, but there are really two basic choices here. Leave that CRP in grass or break it out for cropping, right?
Right. I mean, I haven't thought of a third option, but those are our two, is graze it or crop it. And there's several things to consider on both sides. First of all, commodity prices aren't very good, so the profitability of cropping it is not that great. It's not necessarily that much better in terms of grazing it. But there's also some other considerations about which way you go. Just thinking about it on the pasture side, a lot of this ground, obviously, it used to be cropped. That's how it got into CRP in the first place. So it's not likely to have good fences and also not likely to have a water source. Right. So if you want to rent it out for grazing, you know, and it's got a stand of grass on it, that is a viable option. But you're then looking at having, as a landowner, needing to invest in new fences and a water source.
And if you haven't priced the cost of installing fence lately, it's not cheap.
It's not cheap. The last quote I heard was around $10,000 per mile for a 5-strand barbed wire fence. Now, if you're into putting in your own fence and you have lots of spare time, I'm sure you can cut that cost a bit. But for the rest of us, that's a pretty sizable capital investment that, you know, you're not going to be able to. This is more of a long run decision to go ahead and put that kind of thing into place. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing is just recognizing that what we seed back for grass mix on CRP ground may or may not be the optimal thing to be grazing. I'm sure that, you know, putting in some kind of a range management plan is also going to be necessary in order to optimize the stocking capacity on that ground. So, yeah, I mean, you one of the big things you're looking at here is just getting back into the business of managing that ground. It's always going to depend on the particular parcel, but it hasn't been managed for grazing. So now you have to switch gears and think about, you know, what you want out there for your cattle. What's the best, you know, what's the best mix of grasses and forages, you know, that is going to be out there. And yeah, CRP grass, it may or may not be the optimal.
On the other side, breaking that ground back out as crop ground, and what a market atmosphere to consider that, Michael.
Right. So, you know, other option, if you don't want to invest in fencing and you don't want to invest in a water source, is to rent it out to put crops on it. And yeah, the market for crops right now is pretty poor. And let's keep in mind that in order for this ground to have been accepted into CRP in the first place, there was something about it that made it, you know, marginal ground for cropping. So this isn't your best ground, whether it's, you know, its erodibility or slope or whatever. So, you know, the yield potential on it is not necessarily such that it's going to make it a really profitable piece of ground. And in the same way that you haven't been managing it for grazing, you haven't been managing it for cropping. So you haven't been fertilizing it. You would need to do some soil tests in order to see where you're at on some of your important soil nutrients. And whether you're no-till or not, breaking this ground out, planting back into it, it's going to be rough. I would guess that you're looking at anywhere from a 15 to 20% below expected yield for the first year or two. And that'll ease up as you crop it more years. But yeah, the first couple of years, it's not going to be up to its yield potential. It's not likely to be.
Yeah, so dial down that potential and,
right,
and be realistic about it. Look at it from a long range perspective. How one would arrange their rental of that ground as crop ground, though? Cash rent, crop share, any thoughts on that, Michael?
If I was coming at it from the producer side, I would probably be more interested in a crop share simply because of that bit of uncertainty about what its yield potential is going to be. So I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that was where producers, you know, a producer might be willing to take that land, but that they would prefer to do it under a crop share. Because when you offer up something for a cash lease, usually you want to have a pretty good sense of what, you know, what the yield potential is on it. And with that ground not having been worked for a while, I think there's some uncertainty there that they would want to hedge against.
Michael, an offshoot of this that probably deserves some thought as well, at least, is that many a CRP landowner over the course of those contracts has, by the nature of the program, been rather passive in the involvement. Well, that changes if you're converting that CRP ground now to something else, such as pasture land or cropland, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, for the last 10, 15, 20 years, you have gotten your CRP check, and that's pretty much the extent of your management decisions. If we start talking about, you know, renting it out for pasture or cropland, making capital investments, if being in a crop share where you're paying for inputs at the beginning, you know, now you have a cash flow consideration. It just, it ups the requirements of a landowner from a management standpoint considerably relative to what they might have been accustomed to doing under CRP.
And that's important to understand before you pull the trigger on any decision with this land.
Right. You've got to recognize how much management time are you willing to commit to this. You know, and in some cases, for some folks, they might switch to having a farm manager or farm management company come in and do this for them because the level of management they were doing under CRP was, you know, for whatever reason, that was what they were able or willing to provide, and switching over to being managing this ground in terms of being a full-time ag operation, that's going to be a considerable increase in their costs.
So again, it's going to be difficult to come up with definitive answers on what an individual party would want to do here, but they have to account for a lot of things, Michael. That's more or less the message.
Right. So we're going to discuss, you know, at these meetings that we have here in September, we're going to discuss all of these different factors and sort of how to lay out for your particular parcel, your particular situation, how those costs and benefits might play out. We'll also discuss the possibility of some other government programs like EQIP maybe that could offset costs, maybe of fencing, so you can keep it in grass. And we'll just look at some of those options. Every situation is going to be different, but I think if we give people the pros and cons and let them sort those things out, that hopefully we can help them get to the best decision for their situation.
Specifics on those educational meetings are posted on the agmanager.info website, agmanager.info. If you're interested in being a direct part of those, why, do check out the details there. I want to put one more possibility on the table here, Michael, and that is no CRP is not in the cards for a lot of this land right now. Who knows what the next round of farm policy might bring?
Yeah, absolutely. So whatever you decide to do with that ground now and maybe even for the next couple of years could have an interesting implications on whether or not it ever qualifies to go back into CRP if that program gets expanded. And of course, these are all uncertainties that are several years out and may or may not factor into people's decisions today.
But it's something to keep in the back of one's mind. Principally, though, you want producers to give this deep thought because there are no simple directions to go here.
Right, absolutely. But, you know, ideally what I'd like to see is that landowners consider their options, and when they sit down to talk with whether it's a cattle producer or a crop farmer, to be able to say, this is what I'm thinking, this is how we can go about it, and just have a really tight communication between the landowner and the tenant. Managing ground that has exited CRP takes a little more effort. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a good communication between the two to sort of keep in line expectations and what actually plays out is going to be really crucial.
Mm-hmm. And that communication is always vital between tenant and landlord, but more so with the uncertainty surrounding the best use of that CRP ground from here forward. Michael, looking forward to your presentations on this topic here later on this month. Thanks for sharing a few thoughts on the topic with us today.
Thank you.
Once again, on this decision facing a number of landowners out there who have now former Conservation Reserve Program ground, what to do with that ground from here forward in the absence of it reentering the program, whether to use it as crop production acreage or for pasturing for livestock. Michael Taylor is an agricultural economist with K-State Research and Extension.